Ephesians chapter 6. Recently, my wife and I have been reading a devotion together, and it brought out some interesting points about the parenting of Noah and his wife, and what Noah and his wife must have had to have done to live in that world as a laughingstock to the world around them, and how they must have held together as a family unit, and all that that would have entailed, both from husband and wife holding each other together, but the parents encouraging their children and dealing with this mass separation between them and the world, and brought about a lot of thoughts about the home and about the family unit. We'll begin Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." There's a lot of things in there, and we'll look at some of them. The first thing that I want to notice is that the Lord is the pattern in this passage. He is set forth as the pattern that we should follow. And I know that sounds very basic, but the longer I began to think about it and meditate on it, it's very rare that we make the Lord our pattern in everything. In fact, we're patterned so much after the world that we probably wouldn't even realize so many of the things that we have that are patterns of the world that we don't realize are patterns of the world. Our day-to-day life, every day, the way we live and the things that we do, so much of it has been set forth as a pattern by the world, and we don't even realize it. In fact, it's been so long set forth a pattern that it is even taught many times in churches as the right thing to do, as the responsible thing to do. And we swallow the pill down without question, and it's been going on for so long that we just don't think about it. So many things. One of the things that I thought about is school. You know, we need education. In fact, that's what that word nurture there means. In the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it refers to education. And as I thought about that, I thought, well, you know, my first thought is well, I'm a homeschooler. I'm doing better than maybe the next Joe. You know, you want to think that way. But if you think about it, how much of our lives are really a pattern of the world and not a pattern of the things of the Lord? I went to private school, and I went to one that was pretty conservative, but just looking at the realm of schooling as an example here, just thinking about this, using schooling as an example of one area that we follow the pattern of the world, not to hold up one method of schooling over another, but just think about it. The world's pattern is obvious. There's kindergarten, there's elementary school, there's middle school, there's high school, and after that there's college, and then after that there's some kind of other graduate degree or something like that. This is the pattern of the world. It's not a pattern that you can find anywhere in the Scripture. It's a pattern of the world. I'm not saying it's a bad pattern, not saying it's a good pattern. It's just the pattern of the world. And my parents sent me to private school, and how did that operate? The same way. There was kindergarten, there was elementary school, there was high school, and then they tried to get you off to a Christian college, and at the end of the day, yeah, it was full of biblical teaching, but it was the pattern of the world. It really was that pattern. It was that we fell along that same pattern. As far as our curriculum went, we learned all of the same things, only we interjected creation and God into all of those things. In our home, we homeschool, and so what do we have? Well, we have a kind of a preparatory course that's pretty similar to kindergarten, and then we have elementary school and similar programs, and we expect to be doing this till about 18 years, and then, and why? Do we have a basis for it? And I'm not saying that this is a big deal or it's wrong to, I'm not saying that at all. My point this morning is it's just plain the pattern of the world. And how many things in our lives do we pattern just that way? We've followed the pattern, even in homeschooling or whatever it may be. We have followed that pattern. Have we ever stopped to say, Lord, is this your way? And my point this morning is not that any of those ways, one of them is better or the other. That's between you and the Lord completely. It's completely between you and him. He may lead you to do one thing over the other, and that is, that's what he does. But many times, my point is, we swallow that down like a pill without ever even thinking about it. Is this what the Lord wants us to do? Is this his plan? Is this what he would have? And I'm sure, as I consider that one area, I'm sure that many other areas of our lives are invaded the same way, that we just follow a pattern. And really, it's been taught so long, it's been brought out so long that we would look down on someone in the church that did something differently. We would think that they were wrong for doing something differently. And many churches do. And yet we have no biblical basis to do that at all. And it's an interesting thought. As I thought about the pattern of how the Lord did things, I thought about so many things that would just be mind-boggling to us in the Bible. In 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 1, and Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. If you turn just one page over, 2 Kings 22, and Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. When I read those verses, I think about what kind of education and responsibility must have been placed on those young boys. You know, an 8-year-old can be pretty independent. It would amaze you, really, what an 8-year-old could do. You would be amazed. But we have swallowed a pill that says they can. Don't teach them this or that. They can. You know, the public school system has quit teaching cursive, sentence diagramming, a number of things. Well, they just can't. They can't do that. We had a doctor tell us that we couldn't expect our kids to be able to swallow meat until they were 8. Are you kidding me? You know, all of our kids don't have any problem swallowing meat except Evan, so we took him to the doctor, and they said, oh, kids won't, you know. Basically, what he was telling me is I couldn't really expect him to eat anything but candy and potato chips until he was a little bit older. We had another doctor tell us, when one of our sons needed to have a surgery, and they said, well, we would like to do this before they're potty trained. And I said, that gives us about a month. He said, you can't potty train a boy before he's 4. I've got a couple that we already did. They were trained by 2. Now, that's impossible. Okay. I'm just telling you, if you want to do this before he's potty trained, you got a couple months. That's about it. But that's, we've swallowed that. Oh, you can't expect kids to be, you can't expect them to do anything until this, and then we've drug education out to almost 25, 30 years before you can expect anybody to be worth anything. You know, you can't expect anything, and as a result, you drive through a college town and you see people that should be men, and they're pathetic. And they're literally hiding on a college campus from reality for years and years and years. And oh, I'll change my major. Oh, I'm going to go try it. I'll just... And they hide there forever instead of being a man or a woman. 8 years old he was, and he began to reign over the greatest nation in the world. That's incredible. And Josiah did a good job. He did a good job at it. That's what's amazing. He knew what to do. It makes me think, you know, it just makes me feel like a failure. Have I put my children in a position to know and to learn the things that I should be putting them in the position to know and learn? Not that they have to be great science and history scholars. You know, and for that matter, I would skip literature altogether. Because I would sit there in our Christian school as we learned literature, and I thought, this is all pagan. Why are we even wasting time learning about these great, great writers? You know, I was always in an argument with my English teacher, because she seemed to love Shakespeare, and we would read Shakespeare, and it says, to be or not to be, that is the question. I'm like, no, that's not your question to decide. God decides that. That's, you know. But we would follow the pattern of the world and try to learn of the greats, and we do that. And we feel that's important. But I wonder what important things were taught to Josiah. Probably just primarily how to know right and wrong. Just how to know right and wrong. They pounded that in him from a young age. How to know right and wrong. How to discern. And you read the things that he did. He could see right and wrong. He could see things that for centuries had been left undone, and he began to fix them and began to repair them. He could see right and wrong. It mentions his mother's name in the first verse there. His mother's name was Jedida. It's not often that a mother's mentioned, but I think it was important. His mother played a huge role in this boy's life, in his, probably in his training, as well as in his leading the country. He probably still looked to her and gained wisdom from her and things. But my point is that, first of all, the pattern should come from the Lord. You know, if the pattern should come from the Lord, we should have children that are ready to reign by 8 years old. I mean, we can school them for 18, 20 years if you want to, but we should do a better job of just not ignoring them and shoving them in a corner or setting them in front of some cartoons or, you know, we're tempted to do that. We're tempted because, why? Because that's what we've been told is acceptable. Who's told us that? Not the Bible. It wasn't the Bible that told us that. It was people around us. It was what we grew up in. It's what we accepted. And what we need to do is learn to question everything that's accepted generally. Learn to question that. Now getting back to Genesis 6 and the verse there. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. First of all, you have to understand the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You have to understand how he operates. And we're prone to have a misguided understanding of how God operates. We're prone to do that. We're prone to have misconception upon misconception. As a result of our misconceptions, we're prone to think a lot of wrong things. We see this in Psalms 50. In Psalms 50, the Lord is rebuking his people, and he makes a list of all the things that they did that were wrong. All the things that were unacceptable, he makes a list of all of those things. And then in verse 21 of Psalms 50, he says, these things hast thou done, and I kept silence. You know, the way God handles us is not the way we would think. We parent one of two ways. Either we lose our patience and finally fix something, or we're too lazy to deal with it and we just let it go. Most of the time, the driving force of our parenting comes from our flesh. God, at times, gives us a little space. At times. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. And where we go wrong is then we interpret that as approval. We do something, God doesn't drop the hammer, we go, oh, nothing went wrong. I'm just going to keep doing that. This is where people misinterpret the parenting of God. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Notice the next phrase, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. Oh, he forgot. He let that go. We do that as parents. God doesn't forget. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. God is going to make sure that you understand. He's never just going to let something go. He gives it time. He gives it space. But my point from verse 21 is that phrase there, "Thou thoughtest I was altogether such as one as thyself." The problem is, the way we look at things is we look at how we parent, and then we interpret God that way. But what the Bible's telling us to do is to look at what God does and then parent that way. That's what the Bible's telling us in Ephesians 6. "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." This doesn't mean that we let discipline go at all. But I think it speaks a lot to how we do what we do. Doesn't speak to what we do what we do as much as it speaks to how we do what we do. How do we do? In what way do we do what we do? My dad, I believe, was very good at handling me in a lot of ways. He very rarely would I say that he ever provoked me to anger. It's hard for me to get a bad attitude against my dad. Very difficult. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Thinking about how that God nurtures and admonishes us. We do things a lot of times out of the flesh. Hebrews chapter 12 says that we chasten our children after our own profit. In other words, when they finally annoy us so bad, we chasten them and try to fix that issue. They get too loud. Is there something inherently sinful about being loud? No, it just is behavior that annoys us, so we deal with it, you know. There's a lot of things we do that way. You know, a child can see straight through that. A child knows when he's being disciplined just because you're annoyed. They see right through it. I can remember as a kid, I can see. Kids are far more emotionally in tune than we are as adults. And they see straight through things like that. They know. Provoke not your children to wrath. Mothers, if you have sons, I'll say this. If you have sons, you can either lecture them or punish them, but not both. Because to a man, a lecture is a punishment. You can do one or the other. I used to sit there sometimes and I would say, "Oh, Mom, just please spank me." Can we just spank me? Let's skip past this. You know, you'll lose your sons by going on and on and on and on. You'll lose them. Fewer words for most boys are better. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, which again requires that we understand how God deals with us. Look at our lives. How does God deal with us? Well, he deals primarily with our hearts, which is another reason why we confuse what's happening. Sometimes we get chastened for something, sometimes we don't, seems like. He deals with our hearts. He's trying to mold our hearts. And so he's watching our attitudes and the things that we do, and sometimes it seems like nothing happens. And we get very confused at times looking at how God deals with us, again, because we look at it through the eyes of how we deal with things, but God is not us. He doesn't have us on a shock collar. The instant we step outside the boundary, we get zapped. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes he deals with us days, months, weeks later, because his goal, again, is to mold our heart. And he knows just when the right time is to tell us that was wrong. And then we'll say, yes, Lord. On that right day, on that day that had just the circumstances and all the things that he put into it for a teaching moment, God creates a lot of teaching moments in our lives. In fact, most of our lives are teaching moments that God creates. And really, though he chastens us, and sometimes it's painful, he's very gentle. We fly off the handle. God never, ever does. You know, the Bible says, I have hid my face from thee in my wrath. In other words, when he's angry, he hides himself from us. He never deals with us in anger, frustration. God can never be frustrated because he knows exactly what to do. He's never, you know, at times we, with our children, we don't know what to do. I look at behavior and I go, I don't know what to do. What do you do with that? I don't know. God is, he's never frustrated. He knows exactly what to do. He's patient. And so, in all things, not just in parenting, we see here in verse 4, and we'll just close with this thought here, that he needs to be our pattern. It's not my point to say one type of schooling is better than another, or you should do this, or you should do that. The point is, from the Bible, that the pattern needs to come from here, not from the pressure that the world puts on us. The world puts on us a lot of pressure. You know, we bear burdens that we're not even meant to bear. Things that the world wants us to live up to that God's never asked for. And on the other side of that, there's a lot of things that God has asked for that we've never done and the world has never required of us. But to think about that, take some fresh eyes and look at this world. We'll be prone Monday, tomorrow morning, to just set out for the pattern that's been laid for us by the world and by our parents and by every generation that's gone before us and even by our fellow Christians. Christians will look at you weird if you break the pattern that all the world has set for us to follow. But the Lord, the Word of God, has to be our pattern. That has to be what we're basing all that we're doing on. And so we'll stop there and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the patience that you use when you deal with us, how we need it. We thank you for your long suffering. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be good parents. We know that there aren't any perfect parents, Lord, and we pray that you would help us. We pray that you'd help us in all of our lives to pattern after you. Give us fresh eyes, Lord, by the working of your Spirit, that you would open our eyes to things in our lives that have not been placed there by you. Go with us today. I pray that you would bless and in our services today, that we would just see you, that we would hear from you, and that you would be with the lost, that you might save them. We ask these things in your name. Amen.